You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
The book of Philippians. And I want to primarily deal with one verse, but for clarity's sake, I need to read three. Philippians chapter 3. And let us consider verses 14 through 16. Ready? I hear a few pages turning. When you finally get there, say, "Preacher, I finally made it." Philippians 3 and 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's important to consider the first word, I. Paul was being personal, letting the church of Philippi know what he had made a decision to do. You know, at the end of the day, salvation is personal. Let everyone work out his own salvation with fear and trembling before God. And so again, he makes it personal. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then he shifts in verse 15 from it being personal to singling out certain folk. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature. Woo. Some things are not for everybody. I said some things are not for everybody. Some things are only for grown folk. And Paul knew it. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. So the pastor told him personally what he was going to do, but then he turns around and says, I want anybody that's mature to have the same mind. Don't you love it? Because he didn't ask for volunteers. He didn't ask for volunteers. Woo, sometimes you get in trouble when you ask for volunteers. You get the wrong type folk. Let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So he wants people to be mature, but he also wants people that understand revelation. We have the written word, but God is also known for revealing things for his people. And when he does such, he only does it through his prophet. For Amos 3 and 7 say, surely the Lord God will do nothing unless he reveal his secret. Something everybody does not know. To his servants, the prophets. And then verse 16 is like a conclusion, if you will, because he states, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, and he's still dealing with these mature folk, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. My subject tonight, mature-minded saints. Mature-minded saints. And we're going to give our Lord a big hand of praise before we go further. Diverse people that attend church. And in the diversity, you find out those who are mature and immature. Yeah. Diverse group. You have people that come to church. And some are not really members, but they come as if they're members. Some are not really saved, but they come, they participate as if they are. They are born again. And then you have people that come to church that start looking at others. And if I took a poll, probably all of us have looked at different ones and secretly labeled them. Yeah, secretly labeled them. Yeah, see that girl right there? She got a fine attitude. Yeah, she. I don't know if she's saved or not. She just got that fine attitude. She just up and then she down. Yeah, see that brother right there? Yeah, see he got on them sharp shoes right there. But you have to watch. You can't say everything around him. Because he will tell folk your business. He'll tell folk your business. So you just can't. You just got to watch him. An old girl right there. Man, I used to be just like this. Until she took a big knife and stabbed me in the back. I ain't got nothing to say to her now. I ain't got nothing to say to her. You have people in the church that will talk about others. Not knowing that someone is also talking about them. And you would think that it only happens with folk that are either not saved or just getting saved. Woo! But you have folk that have been in the church for years that secretly label folk. Even folk that are in the hierarchy of the church. Leaders, pastors, apostles, wannabe prophets, and so forth. That they'll just label. Label, come to church to look or to show their gift. Never forget, we were at a particular service and this brother was just singing and talking about let God have his way. And then when the offering came around, he didn't put one cent in the offering. And your bishop labeled him. Your bishop labeled him right then. Doing all that singing up there. Talking about how we need to give God our all and you ain't dropped a penny on the altar. I wasn't going to take a poll, but I need to take a poll. How many of us have ever looked at folk in the church and just started labeling them? Yeah. And sometimes you can hit it. You can hit the nail on the head. What you say about the person is just right. Then there are times you can think that you done hit the nail on the head. And what you think is just wrong is two left shoes. But it happens in the church. And when you consider it, there are some folk that's all they do in the church. They make it their business to look, label, and discuss what others are doing or what's going on. It's never about ministry. Never about being a witness. Never about just living the life that God said to live. It's about doing what they desire to do and making church fit them and not allowing the church to get in them. Because the church is the ecclesia, the called out ones. Folk that have looked in a mirror and recognized it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me that needs to be saved. It's me that needs to be cleaned up from the floor is me. And some of us know it was us because we came into church as a mess. Woo, I can't point that finger at nobody but Walker. I came in a mess. And the one thing that I didn't want was to be in a messy church. When I really made up in my mind I was going to get saved. If you know what I'm talking about, just wave your hand and say, I know what the preacher talking about. And understand this. We do need to know folk in the church. But we don't need to know everybody in the church. For Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, matter of fact, let me just read it real quick. I don't want to quote it and mess around and mess up the quote. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12, this is what he said to the church. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. It was an urgency, according to Paul, that they recognize those who labor among them. Everybody that comes to church is not a worker. Everybody that comes to church is not a true worshiper. So when you start to recognize folks, you first of all have to understand what a real worshiper, a worker is. Biblically speaking, you can't separate a worker from a worshiper. I said you can't separate a worker from a worshiper. Yes, Jesus was about the Father's business, but he was a worshiper. Paul was about the Father's business, but he was a worshiper. So when you see somebody that's working in the church, that person is also a worshiper. That person will also give God all that he deserves. Will give him, yes, a hallelujah, the highest praise, but will also give God his tithes and his offering. You can't separate a worshiper from a worker, because a worshiper and a worker is always going to be about doing what thus saith God, to the point to where mama can't interfere, daddy can't interfere, nobody else. They believe like Jesus, because Jesus told his own folk, I must be about my Father's business. Why? Because he was a worshiper and a worker. He knew what it took to be the type person that God had ordained for him to be. And so Paul again urged the church, recognize those who labor among you. Recognize the worshipers. Recognize the worker. And it's not just to the point to where when you recognize somebody, it's just having an awareness about the person, but it's having a kindred spirit. You recognize that person has the same spirit, the same mindset that you have. And you further recognize it because you are looking at the traits that manifest in their lives in the church and outside the church. But he didn't only want them to recognize those who were laboring among them, but he also wanted them to recognize those that were over them. Recognize who is over you and the ones that admonish you. The ones that tell you to straighten out. The ones that preach something that you may not want to hear, but it's the best thing for you. You got to recognize them and accept what they're giving you. May, if you're in the flesh, make you bitter. But if you're looking for God's help, it'll make you better. And so when you consider people that are in the church, and especially if they are the ecclesia, the call out ones, you can basically consider the call out people of God or the saints in two general categories. And notice I said general. They are either immature or mature. Now, this is general. Help me with it. They are immature or literally to be mature is to be ripe. It's to be ripe. To be ripe is to be prepared, ready, or suitable. Prepared, ready, or suitable. So if I'm mature, I'm ripe, or I'm prepared, ready, or suitable. But on the flip side of that, if I am immature, I am not prepared. I am not, and I am not suitable. And sometimes you can think you're ready, but you're not ready. You'll be wondering why the pastor ain't released you, why the pastor ain't let you do such and such, but he recognized you're eager, but you're not right. You're willing, but you're not ripe. You're immature. And sometimes it takes trouble coming your way for you to see for yourself that you're not ready. Sometimes it takes the bottom falling out for you to recognize for yourself that you're not suitable. You're not ready for the purpose that God has for you. Some folks want to know the purpose, but want to know their purpose, but God won't tell them their purpose in a particular season or when they're eager to know, because they're not ready for the purpose. God couldn't tell me everything because I was not ready. And some of us, we were doing things in the church, but it wasn't the ultimate thing that God had ordained for you, but he couldn't drop it on you simply because you were not ripe. You looked like a fruit that you were ripe, but on the inside there was still some greenness. That was still something that needed to be developed. I like what Paul said about being mature. When you become mature, one thing you have to learn how to do is look at yourself. Get a mirror out. Look at yourself inwardly and outwardly, and just say to yourself, there are some things about me that just need to go. We can label everybody else, but when you get ready to be mature, you need to get a big old mirror, and you need to look in that mirror and say, this is what needs to leave my house. This is what needs to go from me. I need to quit running my mouth all the time. I need to quit thinking about this, that, and the other. I need to quit coming to church acting like I'm a fireball, and I know that I've been complaining, I've been mumbling and doing this, that, and the other all. Say to your neighbor, the one person you need to know more so than anybody is you. See, I got into church, I was like, who are that right there? How come she like that? I was just doing this right here. But then when God told me it's time for you to grow up, Barry, call me by my first name. Other times he would say, hey, Darnell. Just like he would switch up on Peter. Sometimes he would say to Peter, Simon. Other time, Peter. And then one time, devil.
check out the scripture. He had three names for Peter. Simon, Peter, devil. When Peter got out of the word one time, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. And Peter had to eventually, before he could get in his purpose, look in that mirror and say, this is what I need to get rid of. Get in the mirror and be honest with yourself. Hebrew writer said it a different way. He said in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, he said, seeing we have such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. When he looked at how people operated in faith, he knew there are some things in my life that I need to get rid of. I had a whole lot of things I had to get out the closet. Stuff I had been pointing at, seeing in other folk, it was in my closet. When I used to talk about how, oh, man, she knows that she get mad too quick. When I looked in my closet, it was in there too. I don't want to come to your house, but I wonder what's in your closet. Even when I became a pastor, I had to look in my closet and say, you know, that don't need to be in my closet. I went through a period to where I was trying to be every known preacher I knew and liked. I wasn't happy with me. Because I can't use you, because one week you're trying to be Jakes, the next week you're trying to be... Get in your closet and get all that out of your closet and understand I called or chose you to be you. Say to somebody, can't nobody, but nobody beat you. It being you. You ain't gotta try to compete with nobody. Just be the best you. If they on that dumb stuff trying to compete, let them compete. You don't try to compete. You just be you. Cause can't nobody beat you at being you. And sometimes if you look in that closet, the biggest problem you can have is not loving you. You gotta love you. You gotta look at everything that's in your life that you need to get rid of. And start your journey on to maturity. Paul said, when I was a child, he basically thought, talked, and acted like a child. But then when he looked at himself, he said, when I became a man, I started putting childish things away. That's when you start your journey of maturity. I want to teach my best because I know God wants my best effort. I want to preach my best because God wants my best effort. I don't want to do it for selfishness. I don't want to do it for this, that, and the other. I want to do it because I love Him. I want to do it because that's what He chose me to do. I want to do it because He redeemed me. I want to do it because when I was on my way to hell, He reached me. up and save me. So I want to please him. I want to serve him. I want to please him with all of my might, all of my strength, all of my spirit, my soul, and my body. Even when I'm tired, I want to press my way, letting him know because of what he did for me, tiredness is not going to stop me from making my way to his. Lord, I need $100, but my tithe, or the tithe that belonged to you, is $100. So if I have to wait for you to give me some more money, or somebody bless me with some more money, I refuse to rob you, because it's all about Paul let the saints know at Philippi, I got to press. I got to do all I got to do for him. All I need to do, I got to do it. I got to do this for him. See, if you say you're mature, but you let sickness stop you, you can get up and go to the mailbox, but you can't come to church. Saints, I got a cold, but I press my way. Come on now, that ain't pressing. Saints, I work 12 hours a day, but I refuse to stay at home. I press my way. Paul was in jail saying, I'm going to press. But you locked up. Yeah, but I'm going to press from in hell. I can do more than I'm doing in. And that was in him. But see, Paul knew ministry was bigger than him. And he knew one thing that God had ordained for him is to get people that were like-minded. He knew that God had ordained for him to get like-minded people to help him to do ministry. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't know how y'all going to take this, but I done had a whole lot of folk over my 30 years plus that is, Pastor, I'm with you. Y'all holding on? I got a good piece of money, but if I had $100 for everybody that said those particular words, I'd feed all y'all tonight wherever you want to go. I could feed everybody in here. And you can bring one person with you. If I had $100 for everybody, and get this, and we might even stay over at a hotel. See, folk will get excited and say stuff. But Paul said, I need some like-minded folk. I need like-minded folk because I am going to press and I'm mature. I'm ripe. I'm ready to do it. I'm prepared to do it. But I need some folk with me. Some folk will say, Pastor, whatever you need. Brother, I need you to go and cut. Pastor. But you say whatever I need. But see, if you ain't going to be before nobody, you don't want that. You should have just been playing, Pastor. If you want me to lead the prayer service, I'm right there for you. Pastor, if you need me to teach Bible study, I'm right there for you. Pastor, if you need me to go and lead the worship service, I'm there for you. But Pastor, ain't you got somebody that can do that? I'm going to tell you something. Y'all call me Pastor, Bishop, and all that, but I will clean a bathroom. If we have service at the church, and somebody went in there and messed up the bathroom after the maintenance man has cleaned it, I will go in there with some comment. And clean that bathroom. I'm just going to throw a little history at you. I used to be known for cleaning bathrooms. My first job, they would just look, hey, get Walker. He know how to clean a bathroom. So just bring him on in. He know how to clean it, fix it, whatever need to be done with that plumbing. He can do it. Bring him on in. When you say you're ready, when you say you're right, whatever needs to be done in the church, you should be ready. If you just sitting down and see ain't nobody ushering, you should get up. Well, most of they stand here, open up the door. I know that much. I may not know it, but I open up the door for them to let them. And so Paul singles out, as I get ready to close it, he singles out mature folk. He singles out folk that, if you'll notice, that know themselves. Know what they have attained, or basically know what level they're on. They know. And they know themselves not based upon their own intellect. This is the ecclesia. They know themselves based upon the word, get this, written and revealed. They know if they know that, look, I have been doing what 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 says. I have been following my pastor as he follows Christ. I have been doing what pastor taught in reference to Luke 18 and 1. I am not a weak person. I know if I don't pray, I'll faint. So even when the pastor is not around, even when we're not in church, even when nobody is watching, I get down on my face and I seek the face of God. I have been doing Psalm 150. I know God loves praise. I know God wants us to give him hallelujahs. I know God wants us to thank him. I know he told us to enter into his house, enter into his court a certain way. And I have been doing that. I know I went through a hard trial last year, but I still counted it all joy because I know, according to James 1, that's what I'm supposed to do. I am to count it all joy. And I even went through 3 or 4 fiery trials, and I did not think it strange. I kept giving God the glory. I kept quoting Romans 8 and 28 that it's going to work out for my good. I didn't cast away my confidence. evidence. I kept believing and standing on God's word because I know according to Hebrews 10 and 35, my confidence will bring forth a reward. Say to your neighbor, you got to know who you are. I got mad at folk. But I learned to love them. I was angry, but I didn't sin. You got to know your mature. You got to know when folk talk about your pastor, but you know for yourself that your pastor is following Christ. You gotta be mature enough. To say that, I don't want to hear that. My pastor is a holy man. He does according to 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. He's not blind, and if he was blind, I wouldn't follow him. But because I know he's anointed, he's appointed, and he's a man of God, I'm going to follow him as he follows. You got to know yourself. Said, look, if y'all mature, I need y'all to have the same mind. If you mature, I need y'all to have the same mind. I don't want to be giving God his tithes and you don't, Brother Dick. Come on now. I need you to have the same mind. I don't need to get things right with folks that got a problem with me and you don't. I need you to have the same mind. I don't need you getting upset with me when I rebuke you. That's my job. I don't need you to be talking, Pastor picking on me. That's immature. The word is supposed to hit you. God told the prophets, make sure it did. Tell them about their sins. Let them know. You mean let them know? Yeah, let them know. This Bible. Y'all got quiet when I said that. Some folk ain't ready for that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you can get a word, and even though it may step on your toes, but it's going to make you better and keep you out of hell, you ought to give God the glory every time a word comes forth that steps on your toes. I'm closing. And so he basically wanted them to do two things. He wanted them to do two things. He says, first, we got to follow the same rule. The Greek word that is used for following the same rule refers to being just like a soldier. Pastor go left, you go. Pastor go right, you go. Pastor say, you what? Marching orders. That's what it means. Let us follow the same rule. But it also, when it comes to the ecclesia, has to do with 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. Because when it comes to the church, we have to make sure we are in order. We have to be in order. Everything we do has to be decent and in order. Everything we do when it comes to the church. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, if we're not in order, is confusion. And the Lord is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Prosperity. Prosperity. Primary word, biblically speaking, for peace. Prosperity. Everything we do for God is going to cause us to be productive in some way or another. Let us walk by the same rule. Don't come with no tongue talking about kaya kata shata. I know what Pastor said, but God lead me another way. God will never do that. Never. God will never separate his order. To the church, follow the pastor as the pastor follows Christ. That's divine order. That can't be changed. Well, God told me so. I know he told. Well, why did he give us Amos 3:7? He ain't going to do nothing unless he revealed it to his servants, the prophets. His servants. I ain't talking about no false prophets. Servants. His servants, the prophets. His servants, the prophets, are going to make sure whatever they do is in line with the written. The revealed word is going to be based off the written word. Even Jesus did that. He made sure when he said certain things that it was based upon the written word. Why? He had to be the example for the church. Again, 1 Corinthians 11:1. The pastor is the follower of Christ. And the people of God are to follow the pastor. Or the saints of God are to follow the pastor as he follows Christ. Very simple. If your pastor, me, or any pastor decides they're going to be blind, you ain't got to follow nobody like that. What I need to do to your pastor, that's my pastor. What I need to do, you just say, hey, see you back. And let them know why they on their way to the ditch. I ain't going to hell for you, your cousin, or Liel. I'm just going to... And then he wanted them to mind the same things. That's the reason God gives us a thing for the year. We ain't just trying. You remember back in the day, folks used to try to come up with stuff that rhymed. Just like 2024. We're going to hit the door. Why? It's 2024. No. Now, we're going to be spirit-led saints. We're going to allow God to lead us. But God leads directly and indirectly. When it comes to the church, he's going to lead indirectly. Why? That's what he done said in the scripture. That's how he done set it in order. When you're trying to figure out what you should do, in reference to what suit, and you want God's help, God will tell you, get the red suit. Will he tell me something that simple? Yeah, he'll guide you into all truth. Let us mind the same thing. So we need to be mature-minded saints. You agree? Yes. I'm going to stop right there.
Pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.